shall always be my song.
Kneeling on this battleground. and happy Easter to each one of you. We welcome you on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday, and a special welcome to those who are watching on Facebook or listening by radio. We are so glad that you have joined us this morning. We do have a few announcements for you, so we'll buzz through those pretty quickly. There is a nursery available, or if you are in need of that. There's also a changing station in this women's restroom out there in the narthex, but we do have nursery. And so if you want to take advantage of that, we wanted to offer that to you today. This evening, there will be no Sunday evening activities, so please mark that down. Tomorrow is Monday. The church office is closed, so there will be no paper pals tomorrow morning, and so please keep that in mind. On Monday, tomorrow evening, there will be no online Bible study, so please make note of that. And on Wednesday, there are no Wednesday activities, so we look forward to seeing you next week at all of the regularly scheduled events. Next Sunday, I do need to let you know about this. Following the morning worship service, we will have a quarterly business meeting, and so we hope you will make plans to stay for that. During that time, our children and our youth will be in the fellowship hall packing the backpacks for Filled with a Purpose, and lunch will be provided for them. So while we are meeting, they will be working, and so if you'll please make note of that. Also, next Sunday evening, that is April the 24th, we will be hosting the associational meeting at 6 p.m., and so we invite you to be a part of that worship service as well. And then something coming down the pike, we'll give you more information about this later, but K through 5th grade, if you'll make note of this, June 6th through 10, you will be on a mission trip, and we have more information to come. Pastor Kevin will be talking about that, but please mark your calendars now, and we hope that you will participate with that. Again this morning, we welcome you. Happy Easter. We are so glad that you are here.
Welcome you here at First Baptist Church, and we are here to celebrate three young men who have come forward to say that they have committed themselves and ready to make that journey with Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, with that said, Bishop, if you'll come on down. You just stand right there. How you doing?
Good.
A little nervous?
A little bit.
Now I'm the same height as you. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
They're asking why I stand on a stool, because if I didn't, you'd just see my forehead. So, but this morning, and we've been in conversations, probably over the last month, but Bishop has come
to make that profession of faith through these waters of baptism. And so, Bishop, just a few questions. First, do you believe in God the Father?
Yes.
Do you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary? He suffered and died and was crucified. 3 days later, He resurrected on this day which we celebrate, and He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, which we call the advocate that Jesus sends to us when we believe in Him to help us live accordingly? And now, do you commit yourself to the Scriptures, God's holy word, to live your life as best as possible committed to them?
Yes, sir.
And so, Bishop, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is his younger brother, Braden. They look alike. How you doing?
Good,
good. He, too, has been in conversations over the last month, and so as you heard me ask your brother, I'll ask you the same questions, okay? Do you believe in God the Father?
Yes.
And do you believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered, died, was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of the Father?
Yes.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to be our advocate to help us live according to His will? And now, do you commit yourself to the Bible, which are the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, to help you live as best as possible to the will of the Father?
Now, Braden, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This is Mr. Adam Dillon, and he has come forward this week. So you'll come forward at the end of the service for membership. I said, you know, you don't have to belong to a church to be baptized, but when you're baptized, you're usually baptized into not only the kingdom of God and the family of God, but usually into a community of faith. And so he's been part of these conversations, and we had more conversations this week as well. And so, Adam, I'm going to ask you the same questions I asked your buddies, okay? First, do you believe in God the Father?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered, died, crucified, resurrected on the third day, and ascended to the right hand of the Father?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent as our advocate to help us to live according to His will?
Yes.
And now, do you commit yourself to the Scriptures, God's holy word, to live as best as you can committed to the Lord?
And so now, Adam, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
So before we exit stage left, I want to read a couple scriptures, and I wanted the guys to see this up on the screen. This is what happens when we say yes to Jesus. In John's Gospel, in the first chapter, he says this in verse 12. He says, "But to all who did receive Him," meaning Jesus, "you guys have received Him as your Lord and Savior, He gave them the right," look at this, "the right to be children of God to those who believe in His name." And this is why Jesus came. This is what we have just done, that you are now part of God's family, and you have the right to be called a child of God. And he goes on to say in verse 13, what makes you a child of God is not you were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, meaning you weren't born humanly into this world, but you were born again by the Holy Spirit, but you were born of God. So I just want to say congratulations. As I told them, this is the best day of their life. And then hopefully down the road, the second best will be when they get married, and the third best when you have children. But this is the best day of your life. It was the best day of my life. And so we congratulate you all. Give them another round of applause. And let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you. We know Easter is such a glorious day. It's the Sunday of resurrection. What better to have these waters available as these young men die to themselves and come up as a new creature born again in you and for you and because of you. So, Father, we pray protection and blessings on them and their families as this journey continues, for them to remain faithful, to be convicted. They will not waver, and to be strong in the faith. We just praise you this morning through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jesus Christ is the risen Son of the living God, the living God. Jesus Christ is the risen Son of the one and only living God. Jesus Christ is the risen Son of the living God, the living God. Jesus Christ is the risen Son of the one and only living God.
trouble with Facebook this morning, you can access our website and we are live streaming there.
Thank you.
Would you stand with me, please?
Thank you.
Good morning. This is going to be a little different since I'm going to give you my testimony. You don't need me pounding on a pulpit. I do that enough, right? So this was a good day. It was requested for me to share it, and I don't mind sharing it. There's parts of it you will see I'm not proud of. But it's good to know where I came from. You know, I think too often in our culture today, it especially started with television and now with social media, you have a term that's called celebrity preachers. Those two words should not go together. When Jesus rose to the height of his celebrity in John chapter 6, he started teaching them hard things. And the scripture says that everybody left him, and then he turned to the disciples and said, "Are you going to go too?" And Peter said, "No, where would we go?" But the point was, when Jesus became a celebrity and started teaching the deep things of God and obedience, people just left in droves. As many of you know, and if you don't, I was raised in Syracuse, New York. So I am a Yankee. I'm one of those who will not go back. We won't use that word here this morning. And, you know, unless the Lord calls us back. Well, we've been praying hard that he won't. And so he hasn't so far. So my dad was Jewish. My mom was Polish. And kind of an odd thing. And my mom was Catholic. And my dad wasn't an Orthodox Jew. He got caught eating pork chops when he was 19 by his mother, and she threw the whole frying pan out of the house. And he was like, "Ma, they're good. What are you doing?" You know, and because his parents were Orthodox, but my dad wasn't, and most of his siblings weren't. So they married, and the funny thing is, in the Catholic Church, because my dad wasn't Catholic, they couldn't get married on the altar. So they got married in front of the railings. If you see most cathedrals, there's a railings in front of the altar. And so that's where they had to get married. But my dad didn't care. He was 44. My mom was 29 when they got married. And so he was a little bit older in life. And we were raised Catholic and raised there in Syracuse. And then when I was 7, we moved out to Liverpool, New York, which is a suburb of Syracuse. And so where we moved was a street, well, most of the houses there had, I think, like a quarter acre lot, very small lots, house on top of house. I think there was at least 40 kids on our street. So for you young ones, there was no internet, there was no cell phones, there was no social media, there were no computers. That seems foreign today, doesn't it? But you could walk outside of your house and there'd be always somebody there you could play with. We constantly had pickup games, basketball. We played street hockey during the winter, football. I mean, you name it. We were outside playing most of the time. I mean, there was nothing else to do but play with friends. But one of the things growing up there that was socially acceptable, and so for those of you who grew up in that era, smoking was still acceptable, right, cigarettes? And drinking was acceptable. Socially acceptable. Whenever you go out to eat, you'd have a drink. You go over to somebody's house, "Hey, do you want to have a drink?" And it usually be beer, wine, or a mixed drink. And so that was very prevalent in the social circles my parents ran in. And so for a bunch of us kids, that's what we grew up in, that it was okay. It was never okay to do drugs, but it was okay to have a beer or a glass of wine. And so that's how I grew up. And then being in parochial school, I was in a Catholic school pretty much up until through 11th grade. I remember my 8th grade nun taught on hell as if she was born and raised there. She had a 2x4 in her desk, and when you got out of hand, she'd whack you. And I mean, literally, that was still acceptable back then. And I was a wild child. My brother was too. And we grew up with the understanding, and I don't know how we got this understanding, but it seemed to be that way with all the people we hung out with, that if you did well in school, then you can play hard and be wild. You know, if you maintained A's and you were a Dean's List student and you got all these accolades and achievements, it made it more palatable if we went and got crazy every now and then. At least that's how we thought. You know, on our street growing up, they'd have block parties, where they would close the block off and all the parents would get together and then pull out the grills and the kegs. And they did that on occasion when the weather was nice. It wasn't anything for people to come over my house, well, my house, my parents' house, and go downstairs and my dad would entertain. I mean, it was just normal life. Well, unfortunately for me and a bunch of my buddies, we then started getting into that same stuff. At 12 years old, I came home from trick-or-treating absolutely drunk. 12 years old. I still remember my mom beating the heck out of me. It was not a good night. I mean, the four of us went out trick-or-treating and then put away a case of beer that night. So I promised never to do it again. At 16, went to a party. I was a junior in high school. Big party going on. Came home, same thing. I think my mom didn't speak to me for a month. She was so heartbroken. And let me say, if you don't realize, addiction is such a bad thing. It may start out as something that's fun and not that big of a deal, but do you know in 2020, 92,000 people in our country died from overdose? They don't have the 2021 numbers yet. That's why I tell all the young people, don't go near this stuff. And especially the drugs and the fentanyl. All you need is one hit of that stuff and you're hooked. And it will kill you. It will destroy your life. Alcohol almost destroyed my life. At the age of 19, I was finished my second year at Johnson & Wales University for culinary school, and I was awarded a teaching assistant scholarship. It was a full ride. Room and board, tuition, and they paid you at that time, minimum wage was $4 and I think 16 cents an hour. And so one night over that summer, I fell asleep at the wheel. It was 2:30 in the morning. When it was raining, it was pouring. I was on 95 heading to Warwick, where my dorm was. And so when I came to my senses, I hit the brake, and I was driving a two-door Ford Escort. You know how small those things are? And the car spun and came to a stop in the middle of 95. And before I could get it started again, an 18-wheeler plowed into me. You know, the kind, where are you, that Jacob drives. The car should have been totaled. It wasn't right even after they fixed it. But do you know I walked out of that accident without a scratch? Couldn't believe it. I should have been dead that night. I think the Lord had purposes for me. He's so patient. Well, the lifestyle didn't stop. So now you get done with school. I graduate with honors, 2 degrees. And so the motto, instead of going to school and doing well and playing hard, is you work hard and you play hard. And so that continued for the next 5 years out of college. I was hoping to own a restaurant by the age of 26, and by the age of 26, I was in debt. Depressed. Had a failed 2-year relationship that put me on the street with nowhere to live at the age of 26 in Winston-Salem. I was working for Nobles with Jim Noble, an awesome Christian man. He gets a lot of the credit of why I got saved. And so, and still in my out-of-control lifestyle, it was December 28, 1993. I was staying at a buddy's place trying to find an apartment. All my stuff was still packed in my car. And on that evening, I thought it was a good idea to go out to the Bull and Bear Club in downtown Winston. Don't know if it's still open. Semi-private bar, and decided to join and have a couple beers. Right? My life's out of control. And as I'm filling out this application, it said address. And I was on my second beer that night, and I looked at it. And I put 1993 Nissan Stanza. And then it hit me. I had that prodigal son moment. You know, you have this epiphany. And I remember sitting there as I was writing that in, and I said to myself, what in the world are you doing? And I remember at that moment, I started crying out to God. Now, mind you, I was telling the boys before we started that from the age of 18 till I was baptized at 26, I became a CEO Christian. Anybody want to tell me what that is? Christmas and Easter only. Because whenever I go home for the holidays, we go to church. But when I wasn't home with my parents, I didn't go to church. I mean, I went off to college. I mean, again, when you're living out of control and you're drinking, Sunday morning is for sleeping in. So I cried out to the Lord quietly, not loudly, or they'd probably take me away. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I've made a mess of my life. And obviously, I can't seem to navigate it on my own. So I didn't put in the application. I didn't even finish that second beer. And the following week, I had found an apartment and started, I moved in 1st of January. So I remember one of the managers at Nobles came up to me and invited me to church at First Baptist Walnut Cove. I said to her, no, I don't want to do that. And then God was just like screaming at me, you big dummy, you asked for my help. And so the next day I went to her and I said, yeah, I'll go. And so I remember going to this church and sitting with them. And here comes the preacher out wearing a suit. Now, you got to remember, being brought up Catholic, the priests don't wear suits, do they? They wear the robe and the whole garb. And so here he is, and he's preaching, and he was talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I said to myself, what is he talking about? Because I was brought up with religion. I was brought up that you do this and you don't do that. You need to memorize your prayers. No one talked about a relationship with Jesus. Or if they did, I wasn't in the place to hear it. And I remember sitting there like, this is crazy. And then, you know, he talked about read your Bible. Well, I was never encouraged to read my Bible. And do you know, today in America, the reading of the scriptures is at an all-time low? Among Christians, is at an all-time low. And the biggest reason it is, as I was reading this week an article on the Christian Post, it said because people say they don't have time. Do you know on your phones, it tells you every week how much time you spend on it? Do you know that? And so if it says whatever it says, I'm sure we can take some of that and put it to the scriptures. So I talked to Pastor Bill, and we started a friendship. He took me under his wing, and I would ask him questions, and he'd tell me passages to read. And 9 months later, in September of 94, I was baptized. Now, the water was ice cold because he's an Atlanta Braves fan. We talked about it yesterday because his granddaughter today is getting baptized in Chapel Hill. His son-in-law is a pastor there at the church, and so that's where they are. But I told him baptizing me was like I just fell off the, what's the one that sank in the early 1900s? The Titanic, you know, because they had big icebergs in the water. But it was the best day of my life. It was like a flame was lit in my spirit. There was no voice of heaven coming down. There was no dove, but it was like this candle's now lit for you to have a relationship with me. And do you know, it wasn't more than 4 months later, on January 21st, 1995, the Lord called me into ministry. I was driving home, getting my taxes done, or working on them. And it was as if God showed up in the passenger seat. I didn't hear anything audibly, but in my spirit, God said to me, I want you to go into ministry. I mean, I was crying like a baby. So emotional. I got back to my apartment. I was like, is that for real? Because I had to be in the work at 1 o'clock. And it was. And so 2 years later, I went to seminary. And 3 years after that, I graduated with my master's in 2000. And to be honest with you, I kept telling God I didn't want to be a pastor. Don't tell God what you don't want to do. I was on track to be a corporate chaplain for UCrop Supermarkets. I worked with them for 6 years. And it was kind of a hot thing back then between 1985 and early 2000 to hire ministers to be chaplains in the workplace. UCrop's had at that time had 5,700 employees. And so I started doing that with my other job responsibilities. I'd be in court with them. I would be in counseling. At one time, at one of the stores in the Short Pump area on Gayton, we held a memorial service for one of their employees who passed away, and we planted a tree right at the parking spot where this person always parked. And so I came out for the entire store, and we held a service right there in the parking lot. So, I mean, it's a really cool thing, and that's kind of where I felt my gifts were, because I never worked in church life. But 9/11 hit, and it changed sales. It changed revenue in the company, and one of the owners, Bobby Ucrop, came to me and he said, "We can't make you a full-time chaplain." And he says, "I know the Lord called you to full-time ministry, so when that time comes, just give us a proper notice." So I thought that was really cool. So that was in the process of looking to then, I guess, find a church and start figuring out how to preach and how to pastor. And in that process, friends of mine who live two doors down, on Wednesday, which was the day after 9/11, told me they had a girl for me to go out with. And let me say, before that, I had another blind date set up by one of my sales reps for Hormel that summer. And on the second date with her, we were down at a restaurant in Richmond, and she looked at me. We just finished our appetizers, and she said, "I don't know how to act around you. You're a minister." So I called the waiter over, and I said, "Check, please. I'm not spending any more money on you." So that was that. So I was like, yeah, blind date, that's not going to work. So I asked my friends, Chris and Liza, because they went to her church, and her parents went to her church. There's a Lutheran church there in Richmond and Trinity. And I said, "Well, can I go to your church this Sunday and see what she looks like first?" And Liza goes, "Absolutely not. That's cheating." So they gave me her number, and they said, she's waiting for you to call her. Well, unbeknownst, they got her number on that previous Sunday. So now 4 days have gone past since they had talked to Linda. So I waited till that Friday because I said, I don't know. So I called her, but she didn't answer because she worked at an Episcopal girls boarding school, and they had parents who worked in New York. She's still trying to figure out who's alive and who isn't. And so she hadn't had time to decompress because she had to be on for the students all week. So she didn't answer the phone, and about 2 hours later, she called me back, and it took us 10 days to go out on our first date. And we spent 3 hours. Bless you. I wouldn't be half your minister without her. Because she did say on our third date, "I always knew I'd be married to a minister." I went, "Oh my gosh, run, boy, run!" So I just kind of tried to woo her my cooking, and it's all good. So this June we'll be together 19 years, and this September we'll be together 21 years. So, but let me say to you this morning, because our culture has gone completely sideways. Jesus is real. I've had experiences, spiritual experiences with him. You know, I'm like Paul on the Damascus Road. Such a wild shoot that God had to take drastic measures to grab my attention, you know. And even in that process, I've had offers to work secular jobs in the culinary field and be a bivocational pastor. But in those instances, the temptation would be too great for me to go back into my old lifestyle. You know, I heard God clearly tell me at one point, I had an offer that was over six figures in 2002 to go back into the culinary world. And I heard God say to me clearly, I dragged you out of that. Why are you going back? Because he knows my weaknesses. And I said, "You're absolutely right. And if I did that, I wouldn't have Linda." And the verse that really got me, as I was reading the scriptures, trying to decide whether or not I wanted to be baptized or to believe, was Matthew 6:33. You know, as I was reading the scriptures, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And Jesus is talking about what clothes you're going to wear, what food you're going to eat, what are you going to drink. You know, he's talking about the basic stuff we need to survive. And then in verse 33, as he's teaching the crowds on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Seek me first and trust me that I will provide for you." And I remember that verse just hit me. And I said, do I believe that? Because if I say I believe that, then I have to start living it out. Or I'm calling God a liar. So when I said yes to that, "All right, Lord, I believe this. Your scriptures come true. Your promises have never failed. And if you say you're going to take care of me, then I trust you to take care of me." And since then, it's not like you get everything you want, but God takes care of everything you need. When I said yes to him to go to seminary, it took 2 years to get there. Because Mr. Noble was opening a new restaurant, we had some issues with some of the other chefs, and I had to stay on until things got in a good place. And it took 2 years to do that. But I remember I was hired by UCROPS, January of 1997, I was hired by UCROPS to be a culinary instructor through J. Sergeant Reynolds Community College for all of their associates. Because UCROPS believed if their associates at store level could talk about food and the very food that they sell, whether it's in the kitchen and hot foods or in produce or bakery, their meat department, if we can get them knowledgeable about food and the cooking of food, they'll be better in the stores to assist our customers. So I said, fantastic. Well, I got there January, no, we're not ready yet. February, no, we're not ready yet. April, no, we're not ready yet. Now, I'm in seminary, I have tuition, I have an apartment, I have a car payment, I have car insurance, right? I got to eat. So I remember I was standing at the kitchen window doing dishes, and this townhouse I'd rented, they had no insulation. So in February, after being there a month, I got a bill, my heating bill was $400 for a 1,500 square foot apartment. I didn't have that much in the bank at this point because I kept waiting for this job to start. And I remember standing at the window as I was finishing the day, I busted out laughing. I said, "Lord, I'm going to cry if I don't laugh. You said that if I believed in you, you were going to take care of me. You called me to seminary. How am I going to pay this money? Where am I going to get a job? Because the one I had hasn't started yet." It wasn't a couple days later, I get a phone call from my best friend in Raleigh, Rosie. "We need your help. We're opening a restaurant. Can you do the menu, the recipes, and costing out the food cost for us?" "Yeah, I can do that." "Great. We'll pay you $2,500 now and give you the other $2,500 when it's done." I didn't know that was coming. That shows you how God, you don't get rich, but God takes care of your needs. And so that's the decision all of us have to decide. You see there on the screen up there, I put, surrender to become one with Jesus Christ. We must be willing not only to give up sin, which we fight every day, but to surrender to his whole way of looking at things. What made me so happy today is that my job is twofold. One, to help people find Jesus and have eternity with God. The second is to help with discipleship to figure out how that journey looks like here on earth. And that's it. And I share my testimony because I'm nothing special. I am a sinner. I mean, I'm glad my mom's not here. She could tell you stories. I mean, what I put her through. My dad, not so much. He was like, just try. You know, my dad was so laid back. He was like, you're all right, son. Just make up with her. So. But I was a train wreck. And God saved me from that. And if you're here today, and any of this resonates with you, don't wait. Don't wait. You don't know what tomorrow is going to be. Dwayne, ask Dwayne Haskins' family. Quarterback who's playing with Pittsburgh got run over by a dump truck in Florida on the interstate last week. I don't know if he's saved or not. So we're here to celebrate. We're going to enter in communion here in just a second, because for me it's the most meaningful thing is Jesus on the cross. We can't understand the wrath of God. But it's bad. And when you read in the scriptures and you read about God's wrath to those who are ungodly, who reject him, and then you read about it in the book of Revelation, and you realize that that wrath is for each of us. And Jesus got on the cross and took it. He took it. Voluntarily got up on that cross and allowed the wrath of his Father upon him, so that we may have life. And according to John, we may have life in abundance. And so that's what we remember. If you forget the sacrifice on the cross, you will forget who God is. And that's why we do it. And this is the day. It's Resurrection Sunday. So if you have your cups, go ahead and get them out. If does anybody here do not have the juice and the bread, our ushers will bring it to you. We want to make sure everybody has one as we partake together. When you realize what God went through to restore us, it should bring us to our knees. And once we realize that, we have to share that. It pained me. Once I accepted Jesus and was baptized, I took a lot of ridicule in the restaurant for about 6 months. I mean, some of my guys would sit there in the middle of the night, of a busy night of us cooking and serving food, just making fun of me for believing in Jesus. So they had to see it lived out to know that it was real. Even my mother, she couldn't believe it at first. And the funny thing at the restaurant is, since I was the executive chef, I finally got to the point that if they say one more word, I was going to fire them. So that I was able to quiet that pretty quickly. But this is what it's about. This is why we're here, because he died on Good Friday, but he resurrected, and this is what we're celebrating today. And Jesus, on that last night, the scripture says in the Gospel of Luke that he was eagerly desiring to have this Passover with his disciples. He couldn't wait to be in that upper room and to enjoy their company and to watch them as he changed the Passover liturgy and put it to what he was about to do. To see them laugh and talk. To wash their feet. And know what was going to be in front of them on the dirty roads as they proclaim his message when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And so he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. Because this is the wrath of God was going to break his body. And as he broke it, he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body which will be broken for you." Likewise, as most likely the fourth cup during the Passover liturgy was being passed, it could mean the cup of suffering or the cup of redemption, which is both what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so at that moment, he changed everything again, and he looked at his friends. can imagine in such an intimate way with his eyes just piercing their hearts. And he held the cup up and he gave thanks to God for the fruit of the vine. And he said, "Take and drink, for this is my blood, which will be shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. A new and ratifying covenant I make with you this night. And when you drink from this cup, do so with affection in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this service. I thank you for all the people who are here and the people who are listening on the radio and people who are with us on social media. We live in a crazy world today. And yet, it takes you not by surprise. Your gospel is just as powerful today as it was in the first century. You are just as faithful as you were with the nation of Israel leaving Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, and with Joshua and Caleb going into Cana. You are just as faithful as you sent the prophets to warn the nation and to love those, especially in Nineveh, who would repent and weren't even part of the nation. We thank you that you are patient, slow to anger, and ready to forgive. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray today that who may be here and has not made him their Lord and Savior, we pray for them. We thank you for this day and we look forward to tomorrow. May we be your church. Be your people as you are our God. Amen. Our altar is open this morning if you'd like to come forward to pray, to receive Jesus, or to even join our church. Please stand for our closing hymn. teenagers, what are we going to do with them? As you know, he got dunked just a little while ago, and so we're kind of reversing this morning. But Adam's come forward now, not only through the waters of baptism to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but also to be part of this church. All those in favor, say aye. Other than those opposed, see Susan. Congratulations. You can go back there. You guys can come forward. Noel and Cody have come forward. They've been here for a while and certainly with us online for the last couple of years, have come forward to join our church by transfer of letter. And before I do that, I want you guys to tell us who you are.
Deacon.
Oh, come on, don't be shy. Deacon.
It's a Knox.
Marlo.
Awesome. And so they come here to be a part of this community of faith. And so I present them through transfer of letter. All those in favor, say aye. Any opposed? And you're a sheriff, police officer?
Sheriff.
Sheriff, yeah, you really don't want to say no to this guy. So I want, if you guys would come forward too, and you guys can hang out. If you guys, as we conclude this service, want to just greet them and chat and whatever. But thank you. Welcome. Let's give them a round of applause. Now as we go, you see the benediction on the screen. I love this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.